In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Now I started the thing. So there we go. The funnest, the best part about two-part episodes like this is that you guys always have to figure out what ridiculously stupid video that William would never otherwise have watched did I make him watch in between.
Never. It varies. Years,
sometimes it's bad lip reading Herman Cain. Sometimes it's the stupid cat song. Sometimes it's my drunk kitchen. And sometimes it's the thing that we saw today that is a secret.
Yep, it's a mystery.
Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that just finished a different episode of the podcast that you heard last week from this that you're hearing.
Right.
But for us, it's sooner. Mm-hmm. Like now.
But still, for both of us, it's still episode 72.
72. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And as he's over here laying on the hat again.
Again.
She's still a little pissed from last episode. Because you'd think after a week she would get over it.
And get off of the hat, but...
But for her, it is like it has only been a couple minutes. Because it has. So, welcome. For those of you new to the podcast, you picked a weird time. Because this may literally be our first, like, real two-parter ever. Because we left everybody on a cliffhanger.
You called it a two-parter, and we made it a two-parter.
We have. Don't bite me.
He's not talking to me. He's talking
to me. Well, okay. Technically true, but just to cover it in... William, don't bite me.
Well, I hadn't planned on it.
Okay, but I'm now that you bring it up, I want to make sure.
All right.
But yeah, for those of you new, William and I found a magical hat, and it has its own email, and you email the hat, and then we pull the things you emailed out of the hat and read them and talk about them. The end. But last time, just to be assholes.
Previously on the Magical Talking Hat.
When last we left our heroes. We pulled out a question, asked the question, and then left y'all hanging. I'm having a terrible influence on this man. In the past, William would never have pulled this kind of shit, and it was his idea.
Well, something I didn't tell you. After we're done recording this, I'm gonna post some spoilers.
Oh, snap!
Now everybody's wondering, what are they going to say?
Yeah.
No, they're probably not.
No. All right. So, William, refresh our memories on this question.
The question from a whole week ago, which we completely forgot because it's been so long, is, where do you see yourself in 1, 5, and 10 years from now, from and on?
So this is like simultaneously, like we're tri-locating in time?
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't believe that there will be a point where I can do that, so... No, alright, so, today is, technically, July 25th.
Right.
26th. Today's the 19th.
Oh, okay,
so
sorry.
So, 26th.
Sorry, yes, I'm sorry. Great.
2012. Mm. I'm currently in Virginia Beach.
Yes, that's right.
And you are at home alone crying, I assume.
Well, that's what I usually do.
Yeah, okay. So, July 26th, 2013. Where are you? If you want, I believe there's a site that will help us with this.
You know, tell me what day of the week that is. Obviously, it won't be a Thursday, so I won't be doing this.
What day of the week is... July.
I usually just go to my little thing, 26. My little time thing in the lower
2013.
Right-hand corner and
go.
Just go through the calendar. And since it's just a year away, it's just 12 clicks of the mouse.
Yeah, but it's going to be 5 and 10 soon. So
Yes, I suppose.
All right. July 2013, 26th is a Friday.
Friday.
So you will have had a very satisfying episode the day before. Yes, so you'll be flush with the success
of that, yeah.
Of that experience.
Assuming
that we don't have robots to do it for us at that point.
And I think a year out is a little optimistic for that. We'll still have a kid at home, so I'll probably be...
I love the way you put that, so it made it sound like on Friday you'll still have a kid at home. By Saturday, no, but on Fridays, still a kid.
A year from now, there will still be a kid at home.
Yes.
So we'll probably be... One of two things will be happening. We'll be planning an evening alone because our 17-year-old child that lives with us will have other plans on a Friday night in the summer, which makes sense that that would happen. Or... If she doesn't have plans, well, we'll probably be making plans with her because we hardly ever see her anymore.
Yes.
That's what I'm guessing.
What are you going to do about the tragic accident, though, that happened?
Well, you know, these things happen in our lives for a reason. So I'm sure I'll be very introspective about it. And, you know, like I say, Friday night, everyone's home. That's nice. You kind of want to distract yourself for a little while and, you know, you can worry about that later.
Ow.
What about you?
I'm thinking maybe I'll be in the backyard burying a small gray cat.
Well, I hope that's not true.
No, I don't think so. I think I will have killed her.
I thought your answer
then.
To every single one of these would be porn.
Porn?
Yeah, I thought porn.
It's too early in the night for porn.
Oh, okay.
I do need to pause for a minute, though, to say that the website where I got the calendar has an ad on the side... For first bite, fall in love with your own Edward. First of Bite, a personalized vampire romance novel where you are the star. Live the fantasy. Click for a free demo. teenbookbyyou.com. Yeah, so by this time next year, I will have given in and killed myself.
I was just going to say the same thing about me.
Yes, yes. Ezzy, if you unplug that thing, I will kill you. A lot of death in this episode so far.
I'm trying to think of projects I'm working on that might be done in a year, but I really doubt most of my projects. They're going to take longer than that. So
depending on the timing, I could be at the beach again.
I suppose that's true.
I
don't think... A lot is going to change for me. I mean, hopefully I'll make a lot of progress in some of the projects I've started, but I don't think I'm going to have published another book. Or it'd be nice if some of the things I've already done had some notoriety by then, or if the podcast did, but let's be honest.
I don't think a lot's going to change for me in a year, and I think I'm happy with that. I'm hoping we'll still be doing the podcast. I'm hoping I'll still be married to my wife. And I'll still be running the Dresden Files campaign at that point. I think it's going to last at least that long.
All right.
5-year
plan. What's the 5-year
Hopefully
plan?
I'll be pleased with the lack of intense heat and drought.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
I'll say at least it wasn't like last year. And I will be celebrating the 6-month anniversary of my first Oscar win.
Okay.
All right, so 5 years.
5 years.
5 years. So it's going to be July 26th, 2017.
Yeah, I mean, if we come up with a Thursday, we'll know exactly where we're going to be. Right here. Because it's very unlikely it's going to let us go. Because as you know, we're going to be doing this no matter what happens.
I figure. All right. July 26th, 2017 is a Wednesday.
Wednesday. So we'll be mentally preparing for the broadcast.
I'll be on date night.
The next day.
Wednesdays are date night.
5 years. Well, hopefully within 5 years' time, I will have published maybe at least one other book. Now, I'm not committed to that exactly. I'm still kind of tentative about whether or not I'm actually going to write this thing, but I probably will.
Not the same book in that series.
No.
By the way, as we speak, I have probably finished your third book.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. A couple weeks.
I do a lot of reading when I'm at the beach, and that's the first thing I'm reading. So,
we'll still be doing the podcast, I hope. It would be nice if...
It'll be episode 300 and something, I guess, at that point.
Yeah, I see. Well, I don't know. That'll be... We will have done it by then 6.5 years. So, yeah, over 300.
Mm-hmm. I'll be on date night, so I'm going to guess I will currently be seeing the third Avatar movie.
It's hard to say. I've got a lot of irons in the fire, and the kinds of things that would make my life change significantly or not at all. I mean, there's no in between. It's not nothing. Either my life will be exactly the same 5 years from now, or it'll be drastically different. There's really no in between.
I'm kind of the same in that with the diabetes and the weight loss and everything, I will either have posed for my first cover of GQ or I'll be dead. So
I don't want to think about that last one. 10 years.
You really can't stand the thought of me being on the cover of GQ, can you?
10 years from now, kind of more of the same, really.
10 years, hold on.
Unless it's a Thursday, then I know exactly where I'm going to be. And it won't matter what happens. 10 years, we will always
July be. July 26th. Hopefully by then, if we've done it for 10 years, we have a studio by that point. 2022. You know, we forgot to factor in the...
What?
Apocalypse.
Oh, well, yeah, but...
Also, none of these things go that far. Wow. Wow. Hold on. This is crazy talk. Oh, here we go. Facts, answers. Let's see. Answer, Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday, huh?
I'll be gaming. Hmm. Hopefully not still running Dresden Files. That would be pretty hilarious.
That would be a long
one. I don't even know if I will still be gaming, though. Two of my players should be in similar situations. The other two could have found people's and stuff. There could be reasons why they can't game every Tuesday for 10 years straight. So I don't know.
I have no idea.
Well, see, and it's a very difficult thing, because where were you 10 years ago? And how would you have predicted where you are now?
I don't know.
I think 10 years is so far out there.
10 years ago, I was working probably at the same place you were working 10 years ago.
I was 25, so I would have been unemployed. Let's see, and I started there in 21, so I was probably just before I came to work with you.
Mm, yeah.
So she was my boss. So wait, and so that would have been what, 2002?
Mm-hmm.
So I was dating the producer. We were not yet engaged. And I was probably still living in that weird apartment over on Alexandria Manor.
Yeah, I couldn't have told you. I mean,
Wait, 2002? I lied. 2002, I had just been working there for like a year.
Yeah, I'd been there for 4 years already.
But I was definitely dating the producer.
I didn't know what I was going to be doing in 10 years, even while I was working there. I mean, I knew...
9/11 was less than a year gone.
Yeah.
So I was still messing with all of our heads.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was going to do. I mean, since I've decided to leave there, I've known what I'm going to be doing, but there's no way for me to predict what the impact of that's going to be, you know, even for the rest of my life. I mean, 10 years from now, I won't I won't be living in a, I will no longer be living in a house with kids, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and even
when that happens,
like that,
it changes a lot of things
about
how you see life.
Theoretically, a lot of direction that you knew about because you knew you were going to be raising these kids, mm-hmm. and yet even that went in such different directions.
Right,
it's
right.
So hard to tell.
So I don't know. I guess we live in a society where it's kind of expected that people are going to have plans, even plans this out far out in the future. And I've just never been that kind of a person, which maybe explains why I'm where I'm at. But it's just not my kind of thing.
Like, you've got the kids and they're almost grown. So that's done. I'm not going to have no kids.
Mm.
And neither of us has particular, like, professional career ambitions that fit into a plan thing like that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really work. Now, the weird bit for me is 10 years from now, Twiglet will probably be dead.
Mm-hmm.
He will be 20 if he's not dead. I have known cats that have lived that long, but it's not that common. That is very weird to me. Esmeralda will be an older cat. She will be in her teens. She will most likely be the grand dam of our household. And that's really hard to imagine also. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. So, there is your very unsatisfying answers, people. Enjoy.
Boy, I bet that was worth it, waiting a
yes,
week.
Totally. We're going to do this a lot more.
Yeah. That was a great experiment.
All right.
Glad.
Now we got that out of the way. Let's go back. How was your week?
It was, you know.
How did you enjoy the two movies? You went and saw Dark Knight and Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Rises and Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah. How did you like them?
Batman, Spider-Man. They met expectations.
Okay. Now I should say, given that you haven't actually seen them yet,
mm-hmm.
how did you enjoy seeing them 6 days ago?
They met expectations.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I would expect that. I mean, if you asked me how I enjoyed something last week that hasn't happened yet, I would generally find it completely, the experience was very unexpected for me, whether good or bad.
Mm.
Mostly because when we're dealing with that sort of temporal impossibility,
mm-hmm.
it's way boring to just say that I met expectations. If you're going to lie, lie big. What I'm saying,
I suppose.
So
that reminds me, we totally answered this question wrong.
Why?
Where do you see yourself in 1, 5, and 10 years from now? In a mirror.
Oh,
it was a trick question.
Vaudeville's dead. It's not coming back in the next 10 years. So what the hell?
I'm just saying that 10 years from now, it's probably still the same place.
Have you? You don't have IFC, do you?
I don't.
Independent Film Channel.
I know. I don't have any channels, really.
Yeah. Mean,
we have a television for playing video games on and watching movies. And actually, I think I might have explained this before. Our cable, someone at the cable company gave us a basic cable because they realized we were paying more in the surcharge than we'd pay for basic cable, and we didn't even know we had it.
Oh.
However, basic cable here means channels you would never watch, so
yeah.
We still don't really use it.
IFC has recently had a couple of new programs, including one called Comedy Bang Bang, that I think you would enjoy. It's a fake talk show that sort of mixes in some improv and sketch comedy in the process of it, that I think you might enjoy. It's fairly surreal, but I think you'd like it. And it just made me think of it because they had a bit involving, they're in the middle of an interview and spontaneously, they do a lot of bits that, like, are supposed to imply that it's a regular thing that they do, but you've never seen it before.
Okay.
And even, like, the first episode acted as though they had had many episodes before.
Oh,
kind of thing.
Okay.
And they had one where this character they have named Crowpoke suddenly showed up, and it was this animatronic bird thing. And it told them a really lame joke like that, or it was asking a joke. And what do you call a Crowpoke that does really well in school, I think. And then it shut down. And so the doctor who created Crowpoke comes out and has to fix it. And it involves making a little incision into it, and there's like guts inside and stuff, and it turns out it's because it is half crow when he built it, and so it becomes this horrible thing, and he accidentally kills it and all that. And then at the end he says, oh, by the way, and the answer was an egg student. That's somebody who does well as an egg student. Yeah, but it has lots of just odd things like that happen. There was one episode where in the middle, the host suddenly remembered he had to pick up his dry cleaning, and so he literally leaves, and we go through a whole experience. And he had a bit where he was going to surprise a listener by getting to meet him, you know, suddenly. And he goes to the house and knocks on the door, and it turns out Andy Richter is already there doing the same thing, and that's already happened. It's pretty cool. I like it. You should check it out. They also have a fake game show called Bunk that I enjoy. Again, because my friend Kumail, not my friend, the guy I went to college with who doesn't know me anymore at all, is on there, and I think he's hilarious. And so...
Is he sitting on the hat?
Sleeping on the hat, even.
What? Why does she want to sit on the hat?
She tends to want to sit where you don't want her to. It's kind of a magic cat thing.
Hmm.
I said magic cat, by the way.
Not magical talking cat.
No. She does talk sometimes.
She really
But never one I want to demonstrate.
She really looks annoyed when you do that.
Yes. And I'm okay with that, because she annoys the crap out of me so much.
I see.
Does such terrible things to me.
We should probably rescue the hat from her posterior so we can start, you know,
all right,
doing our job. Jobs. Job? I don't know. We each have the job, but technically it's just one job.
The toughest job you'll ever love. Hosting a podcast, kind of like joining the Peace Corps. Wasn't that the slogan of the Peace Corps? The toughest job you'll ever love?
I think so.
All right.
Anon.
When people stole it to talk about parenting, it annoyed me.
Oh.
Anon, meaning coming up tomorrow.
Let's see. The new term for the Easter egg scene that comes after the end credits of a movie is shawarma.
Is there a W in there?
Yeah.
Shawarma?
Shawarma?
Shawarma.
What is your favorite shawarma? Why, what? Why is it called that?
All right. Let's do this. Shawarma is...
Shawarma?
That's how it's spelled. It's pronounced shawarma.
It's pronounced... But there's an A there.
Yes.
Shaw... Whatever.
Don't be racist.
What?
Shawarma is a Middle Eastern dish. It's quite tasty. I've had it quite a few times. It has recently been popularized again because of a movie called The Avengers.
Really? That's why they're calling it that?
Yes. Do you remember the end of
Avengers? Yeah, I do remember, but how would anyone know that that has anything to do with that scene necessarily? Just because of... I mean, how can you... Is it just a... Never mind.
Do you not remember the lead-up to that
scene? Oh, yes, 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 you're right. Sorry.
That's the whole point.
No, I'd forgotten.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Yes.
So because the Avengers did it...
Because the Avengers did it brilliantly. That's what they're calling it now.
Huh.
I've been using this term for a while. I love it.
If you say so.
So what's the actual question?
What's your favorite one?
What's your favorite shawarma? My favorite shawarma may actually be the scene. Its namesake. I love that scene. And I want to buy the Blu-ray when it comes out. Because you know they filmed that for like 15 minutes to get that chunk. And I want to see the 15 minutes where, like, they had to keep stopping because somebody laughed or something. Like, I want to see that really badly. There is just something so pure about that scene. I absolutely adore that scene. Like, that, it could have gone on so much longer, and I would have kept watching and laughing my ass off.
I think my favorite one is the one that's after my dinner with Andre, where they're having a fist fight. I think that's my favorite one.
You lie! You lie.
Come on.
They're not even near each other when that...
That's a great one.
And, what is your favorite shawarma?
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of them in the first place. I mean, really? You know, no, I mean, I'll sit and wait and watch because whatever, but if someone told me, you know, there's not going to be a little scene at the end of the credits, I'd be like, okay, good. I can get out of here and I can, you know, get in my car. I mean, I don't, it's not a device that I relish or like or anything.
I mean, I enjoy them and I feel better about myself because I feel like I sat through the credits and all the people got the recognition they deserve. Not that I paid attention, but I feel that way.
I've never seen one that I thought was, you know, blow me over or anything. I mean, the first one I remember ever seeing was at the end of Young Sherlock Holmes.
Wow, that's going back a ways.
Yeah, that's the first one I ever remember seeing.
I remember seeing that movie a couple times. I barely remember anything about it, and certainly nothing like that.
Yep, there was one of these at the end of the credits. There might have been, I might have seen one before that, but I can't remember. I think that's the first one I ever saw, and I thought it was a clever idea. But even that one, I didn't think, oh, wow, that's awesome, or anything like that. You know, it's just, oh, okay, that's cool. And then I never really saw anyone do that again until, like, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies did it, and...
One of the great classic ones, but I mean, recently it's become popularized again because of all the lead-up Avengers movies. They all did that,
yeah.
And they all sort of tied together. Oh, sorry. But no, there is a great classic one we're omitting, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, well.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, but I didn't see that movie in the theater, and most of the people I knew really didn't see it in the theater either. They saw it on cable because when we were young, cable was really a new thing and it was playing all the time. So I probably didn't see that film in its entirety.
I just appreciate the very meta-ness of it. I think I've seen other ones that have done the same thing, where essentially after the credits they do a little vignette in which somebody on the screen addresses the audience and explains that they should leave.
Yeah.
I've always kind of liked that device.
But
it's cutesy, don't get me wrong. It's wholly either a comedic thing or a setup for a sequel. But I don't know, I enjoy it. And I really enjoyed the one in Avengers. Like unreasonably so. Like, I get a tremendous amount of bliss out of that scene. I don't know why. I really do. I just love looking at all the faces and, like, just thinking about, like, what the level, like, what am I supposed to be getting from their character? But way more than that, what is going on through that actor's head right now? And which one of them is the closest to breaking? Because somebody's doing it. Like, oh, I don't know why. I just adore that scene.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's one of the more clever ones that, you know, just about everyone I've ever seen other than that one shares a particular piece of information in relation to the story you just saw or in relation to a story that's going to be told. And this one almost makes fun of all the ones that went before it by really giving you no information.
You're waiting, well, especially the build-up for the Avengers ones. You're like, and what's this going to mean? Bupkis.
Yeah, just... They're just eating.
Well, but to be fair, that's because they did a pre-shawarma in the middle of the credits dealing with the sequel.
I suppose they did, yeah.
What do you mean suppose? They totally did.
Yeah, I know, but I don't, you know, whatever you want to call it.
It's an aperitif shawarma, a starter shawarma. Shawarma's tasty.
Okay, I'll have to take your word for that.
I had had shawarma before this experience. I've had it a couple times since.
I completely forgot that word. I mean, now that you've refreshed my memory and it was mentioned, I completely forgot about it. But.
Recently, I think it was Dark Shadows, I very actively decided, I was like, there may or may not be shawarma in this, and I don't care, I'm leaving anyway. Mm-hmm. And that is a rarity for me. Regardless of how I felt about a film, if I think there's something after the credits, I will usually stick around for it.
Something really bothers me that this is going to be called shawarma now.
Why, it's awesome.
I don't know. There's no reason for it to bother me, but something about it just bothers me.
Because you are so... Just...
I probably
deep in your soul incredibly racist.
No, I probably anticipate that people are going to be talking about this, and I'm going to be thinking, what are they talking about? Even though we've had this conversation about it, I still won't know what they're talking about.
Dude,
then they'll have to explain it to me all over again like you just did.
William.
And then I'll hate it again because I'll think to myself, oh man, someone's going to be talking about this in the future and I'm not going to know what they're talking about. And that's just going to be like for the rest of my life. I'm not going to understand what this is.
Are you really doing like future nested annoyances right now? You're getting annoyed about the next time that you're annoyed by this because it'll make you think of the next time that you'll be annoyed
right,
by this.
Right.
See, this is why you do this podcast and this is why you have to continue doing the podcast. This is essentially therapy for you. This podcast is essentially so that you can have contact with the outside world and not get too badly burned.
I don't know if it's helping.
We acclimate you to things like shawarma.
Where do you see yourself in 1, 5, and 10 years having this conversation about shawarma with you or someone?
Dude, you also got to keep in mind, given the speed at which this term was picked up, means it probably won't last long at all.
I hope not, because
I intend to use it for the rest of my
life. My only saving grace in this is that I won't remember having this conversation later, so I guess I can't be too much more.
The film Memento was about William, but they spiced it up a little bit because William doesn't actually believe his wife was killed and isn't tracking anybody down. He just can't ever keep track of shit. Ezzy, seriously, I don't know what you're doing, but it is not good.
I don't either. Okay, well, I guess that answers that question.
Was that Anonymous?
Yeah.
Thanks, Anonymous.
Next! You're so next. Did I draw this one? I guess I did.
You made that up. What does that mean? Oh! What is that from? What is that from?
It's from the Bugs Bunny cartoon where they do the Barber of Seville.
Oh. Okay. Anonymous, again.
Wow. Must have submitted like a lot in a bunch or something.
Why do I feel like we've done this one, which is weird?
Well, you know, maybe we have.
Lettuces. How do you feel about people that don't like it?
I don't care. If they don't like it?
I've never thought about this, but I believe I have a tremendous dislike for people who bother to put forth the effort to dislike lettuce.
Well, my experience, people dislike lots of things, and it just doesn't... I mean, yes, it seems like lettuce is a weird thing to dislike, but I can probably name 1,000 things that I think are weird for people to dislike, so...
Do you have
any... For example, why dislike people who dislike things, or a particular thing? That seems pointless to me.
Do you, William, yourself, actively, like, strongly such that you really would rather never eat them, dislike any vegetables that you can think of?
Not that I know of.
Really?
I'm...
Well, let's go with the classics. Beets.
Oh, I love beets. Wow.
Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Olives.
Yeah.
Just both like, green and black.
Every kind, sure. Why? People don't like olives?
Oh, yeah. I can't stand black. I can tolerate but do not like black olives. I cannot stand green olives.
Man, I haven't had beets for a while. Those are so good.
Beets may be the only one that I physically can't choke down.
If I wasn't a vegetarian, there's probably nothing I wouldn't eat. I mean,
interesting.
I mean, and most of the things, like insects, for example. I don't want to eat insects, but it's not because if I did, I'd think they tasted bad. They just creep me out.
Yeah.
I
have that occasionally with foods. I'm like, this taste. I can't think of a good example now, but things where I'm just like, the fact that I'm eating this. I think maybe I've had like candied like crickets or something,
yeah.
And I'm like, it tastes fine in my mouth, but my brain just keeps telling me what it is, and it's freaking me out.
Yeah, that's the way I would be. But I don't think it would impact how I perceive its taste. I just have a very tolerant. Maybe I don't have a very sensitive palate, so that. And a lot of people I know, when they don't like something, it's often about the texture of something and not even its taste.
I've heard that a lot, and I can understand that. I don't have that problem.
Yeah, I don't.
There are things that I'd say, my opinion for them changes some because of the texture, but nothing that, like, I dislike purely for the texture.
I'm sure if I thought about it, there'd be something that I don't like. I can't think of anything right now, though, in the vegetable kingdom. Now, fruits, I mean, I like grapefruit, but sometimes it's just too bitter and...
Yeah,
wouldn't prefer to eat it, but I don't dislike it. I think it tastes fine.
My parents...
In fact, out of all the citruses, I'd say I think grapefruit tastes the best, minus the bitter.
Yeah.
But the bitter sort of overwhelms
it. Have you ever had fresh squeezed grapefruit juice?
Yeah, and I like that a lot.
It is amazing. It looks like vomit.
Well, I don't know about that.
It looks like this nasty brown color. It just amazed me to see how processed the visual is in store-bought grapefruit juice.
No, that's true. That's true.
Because I saw some when we were in San Diego before we were going on the cruise. I was like, "What is that?" And it said grapefruit. I'm like, "Oh, I like grapefruit juice." And I looked. I'm like, "It looks disgusting." But I poured it, and it was so tasty. Yeah, I had never had that before. Sure, it was so tasty. Sure, sure. But it seriously looked so nasty and brown, and oh, it was weird. My parents long ago were vacationing in Hawaii, and they had gone to a farmer's market, and they had purchased a breadfruit because they had always wanted to try, and they never had really had breadfruit. And so they got some.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a big fruit off of a tree. It's called breadfruit.
Okay.
And they wanted to try it, and so they bought one at the farmer's market, and they asked the person at the time, they're like, "How do we prepare this?"
Mm-hmm.
The person said, "You just get a big pot of boiling water, you put it in there, and you boil it, and then you eat it."
You boil it?
That's what they told them.
Huh.
And so my parents took it home. They were in like a little condo thing or whatever, so it had a kitchen, or at least a kitchenette. Big pot of water, put the fruit in there. It was a big one. It was like, you know, that big, which for those of you watching at home is probably, I don't know, what, 6 to 8 inches across?
I guess, yeah.
And they're big. They put it in there, and they cooked it, boiled it for a while. It started to smell funny.
Smell funny?
Yeah, weirdly sort of sour and bitter.
Hmm.
And they checked on it, and they eventually figured out, especially once they cut it open, that it was a giant grapefruit and not, in fact, a breadfruit. And that they had, in fact, boiled a giant grapefruit.
Oh, man.
And I think, for form's sake, they tasted it. But boiled grapefruit is not good.
No, probably not.
And so I think they've still never had breadfruit.
I've never even heard of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, now I got to look it up. I had heard it. I've seen breadfruit trees and things, but I don't know that I've ever had one.
Is there a reason we shouldn't like people who don't like lettuces? I mean, I'm not sure I understand this question. Why not say carrots or why lettuces?
Here we go. Breadfruit. Archocarpus altilis is a species of flowering tree in the mulberry family, Moraceae, growing throughout Southeast Asia and most Pacific Ocean islands.
We don't do this. We don't look stuff up while we're on the air, do we?
Every once in a while.
When have we ever done that before?
Breadfruit is a staple food in many tropical regions. Mostly when I'm curious, then we look it up.
Yeah, but the only time we've ever looked anything up in the past is like the number of the episode.
Breadfruit can be eaten once cooked or can be further processed into a variety of other foods.
Well, why do they call it breadfruit?
A common product is a mixture of cooked or fermented breadfruit mash mixed with coconut milk and baked in banana leaves. Whole fruits can be cooked in an open fire, then cored and filled with other foods, such as coconut milk, sugar, butter, cooked meats, and other fruits. Filled fruit can be further cooked. Da, 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 da. The Hawaiian staple food called poi, made of mashed taro root, is easily substituted or augmented with mashed breadfruit. The resulting breadfruit poi is called poi ulu. In Puerto Rico, it's called panapen, or pana for short. Often served boiled. Breadfruit is roughly 25% carbohydrates and 70% water. Breadfruit was widely and diversely used among Pacific Islanders. I don't know, I'm going to guess it's really, really starchy is what it probably or comes something. Down to. Recipes. In the Seychelles, it was traditionally eaten as a substitute for rice. Eating some boiled or grilled. Also eaten as a dessert. Yeah. So that.
Okay.
Now you know.
How do you feel about people that don't like it?
I find it weird. Let me do this. Have you ever found somebody who does not like lettuce?
I think so.
I don't believe I have. I've found people who don't like lettuce in specific situations. Like people don't want lettuce on their sandwich. Don't want lettuce on their burger. And that I can understand. It's not hating the lettuce. It's that the particular combination of things on your burger, you like it better without. But the concept that, like, lettuce as a food you don't like, I have not encountered.
I think I have. I think at the time it was, the problem seemed to be, well, it doesn't have any flavor, or, you know, it's they felt like it was like eating leaves or something.
It is eating leaves.
I mean,
in a very literal sense.
Like the same way deer eat leaves.
People have issues with greens.
Yeah,
with, like,
that's
spring
right.
Greens.
Sure.
But
my father doesn't like corn because he used to feed it to pigs, and so he thinks of it as pig food.
And some people have that issues with certain things that they feel culturally aren't human food.
Yeah, right.
And so some people, lettuce is rabbit food.
Yes,
or rodent
that's right.
Food.
That's right.
No, but the producer used to work in the kitchen of nursing home for a few years when she was younger, and they switched the salads from iceberg lettuce to mixed greens, and there were some angry letters from the residents, including one that made reference to, when I saw the gardener weeding yesterday, I didn't realize he was picking my supper.
Well, the thing is, a lot of mixed green salads do have, like,
dandelion
greens.
Yep.
Which I do have to say, of all the greens that I like to eat, that's probably my least favorite.
I enjoy dandelion greens. If you get them early enough, they're not that bitter.
Well, and if they're sautéed, that takes care
also
of the problem,
true. Or too. Or with a strong enough vinaigrette.
Sure, but even then,
so
it's
you're
not
a big
favorite.
Bitter guy.
No. For a long time, like coffee.
Yeah.
Well, aside from the caffeine, which I can't have,
yeah.
Was never a huge coffee fan.
I kind of am a bitter guy.
Yeah, you are.
Coffee, I've.
Oh, you mean?
Yes. Also that. coffee. I acquired the taste for coffee. When it comes to beer, I've discovered I really enjoy IPAs, which are very bitter from the hops. Growing up, when we would be in Canada, we would get a drink called Schweppes Bitter Lemon. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Bitter Lemon, I shouldn't say Schweppes. That's the brand name we usually got. But Bitter Lemon, it's just that. It's sort of like a carbonated lemonade drink, but with a very, very serious bitterness in it also. And very, very acquired taste.
Now, when
really
I eat really dark chocolate, of course, that can be bitter,
yeah,
and it
yeah.
doesn't bother me. But I think it's because it's counteracted by the other physiological effects.
I need to get some more of that. I almost got some the other day. I haven't had that in a while. I need my fix.
And because I associate the good feeling of chocolate with that bitter taste, you know, I enjoy the dark chocolate bitter. But other types of bitter, I might think it's okay. So, you know, so far as the thing goes, but if it's too bitter, I'm not a big fan.
Interesting.
There was you know what, I've had my DNA tested for genealogical purposes, and there's something about bitter in there. But it's, I think they say that I'm genetically not inclined to sense bitterness in things, but I think I'm fairly sensitive to it. Or maybe I'm not, and maybe I'm not sensitive to it, but when I do taste it, I don't like it. Maybe that's it, I don't know.
Maybe because you're not sensitive to it, it's particularly alien flavor to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I always wanted to try, and I should get them, but the miracle berry or whatever, have you ever seen these things? It's a berry that the juice from it, it basically screws up the receptors in your taste buds temporarily so that sour things taste sweet.
Oh, yeah.
And the big trick you can do with them that people do is you, once you've eaten that, or even if you just rub it on your mouth, basically, then you can bite into a lemon and it tastes sweet.
Huh.
And people have done that and experiment with all sorts of interesting foods and stuff and see how they taste different. And in fact, there is a small group amongst like really gourmet chefs that will create desserts that involve these and then intentionally mix in things that would taste horrible if you didn't have this reaction at the time.
Wow, that's interesting.
But you can order them like online or whatever. I've always been curious.
Well, I guess I don't feel one way or the other about people who don't like lettuce.
How do you feel about lettuce?
Well, of course, lettuce is, you know, I'm a vegetarian, so I like pretty much vegetables of all kinds. Rabbit food.
I also enjoy lettuce and the lifestyle it affords me. All right, I think we got time for one more.
I'm not a big fan of iceberg lettuce, though. It's okay, but...
It's not my first choice. Honestly, I mean, mixed greens for a salad, but in general, if I'm stuck on a desert island with only one lettuce, it's probably romaine. I like romaine quite a bit.
Spinach. I gotta have spinach.
I do like raw spinach leaves. When I go to Subway, I don't get regular lettuce, but I get the spinach leaves. Yeah. What do we got?
This is an Anon night, I guess.
Oh, the anonymous episode.
Popcorn flavors. What is your favorite? Well, that's a food thing, too.
Interesting. Just the other day, I saw a thing on Food Network of somebody creating basically an herb-based popcorn where they mixed together a bunch of fresh herbs that they chopped up and then, like, some Romano cheese, and you drizzle a little olive oil on the popcorn and then put the stuff on. And I was like, that looks really tasty.
Yeah, we do that kind of thing at home. So I can't really name a favorite because at home there's a lot of spontaneity to it, you know. It's not like, oh, this is this kind of popcorn, you know. It's just, oh, that was a, you know.
Well, okay, you're going to make popcorn right now. What are you going to do? What are you going to put on it?
Well, I don't know because I'm not the one that does it.
But you're doing it now. That person is dead.
Well, I don't know what they do. Well, I just taste it and it's amazing.
Time for you to figure out. They're dead now. You'll never have that popcorn again. Make some popcorn.
Well, then I'll probably just put, like, butter or something on it because I won't know how to do anything else. But, you know, some people put seasoned salt on it or...
Yeah. Popcorn that's been popped in oil on the stovetop has a very different flavor to me.
That's right. Yeah. And also, if you salt it or put something on it that's granular, it sticks better.
Yeah.
That way. Putting Parmesan cheese or something on it is sometimes nice.
Growing up, I did that. We'd just call it cheesy popcorn, and you just put a bunch of butter on, except in our house, I think it was probably margarine, and then Parmesan cheese on top of that, and just ridiculous amounts.
Although we're forgetting other things like caramel corn and things like that, I suppose.
Yeah,
my mom used to make that homemade, and, you know, homemade caramel corn's
pretty good. I'm not opposed to sweet corns. Butter toffee popcorn, or like fiddle faddle or something, love that.
Yeah, yeah.
In general, though, again, you know, gun to my head, desert island situation, I think I tend to prefer the savory popcorn flavors. The buttery, the cheesy. Cheese popcorns of various types are something I enjoy. There is a spice company that I know of, a shop in Chicago, but you can also go online, that will do dehydrated cheddar cheese powder. So it looks like the powder you get just like in a box of mac and cheese, but it's actually literally just cheddar cheese that's been dehydrated and then ground down.
Mm.
And apparently you can get that and put that on popcorn. It's freaking amazing.
Hmm.
I have never experienced that myself, but I've heard it's good. I want to get more into that. I don't know. We don't eat a lot. I probably should eat more because that's one of those snacks that is very low on carbs for what you can eat. You can eat a pretty surprising amount of popcorn for not too much. It's one of those things, like, oddly enough, like cheese puffs are like that too, because there's so much air involved.
Mm-hmm.
You can have quite a bit, and it's still, you know, within a serving of carbs and things like that.
Although there's a lot of sugar in the powder. I mean, for regular cheese puffs.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know if I don't really have a favorite popcorn flavor, I guess. I like, you know, what when popcorn's made in the house and the people are making it are really creative and do fancy stuff with it. That's fun.
It's like bacon.
No, not bacon.
Bacon over it?
No.
That's what you do. What did somebody do? I don't remember. Somebody took, like, old popcorn and put it in some recipe. I don't remember.
But maybe people want to tell us what their favorite popcorn
flavor is. Tell us what your favorite popcorn flavor is. We'll listen.
Yuck, that sounds gross.
They're not particularly chatty.
I don't like the one that I heard. It's icky.
Yeah, that not only is that gross, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
You shouldn't say that kind of stuff on here. We're a family show.
Yes.
With an explicit tag and no family. No, you should tell us about your favorite popcorn flavors, but you should do it via the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Go there, talk about popcorn flavors. Other people do it. Why don't you?
Yeah.
It's part of what makes them cool. If you don't do it, you're really not that cool. So go do it, and maybe the producer will comment. I very seldom comment on the blog, but the producer comments on the blog quite a bit.
Yeah.
I
don't comment there very often either.
No. I read all of them, by the way. I actually am set up so that I know when people have commented. I get notifications, and I read all of them.
He knows when you're
and
commenting.
I'm the one who has to moderate when spammers try and comment on there, or on the extremely rare occasion when, oh, I don't know, Mark writes such a huge comment that it triggers moderation. There's a certain size over which the blog is like, you have to moderate this.
Oh.
And the random occasions when the producer comments and the blog thinks it's spam.
Hmm.
Which I found a couple of, I believe the producer and Blood Sparrow have both had comments, not even that asked for moderation, that the blog just decided on its own were spam and put in the
spam folder.
Because
of links or something?
I have no idea. I don't think it's that, because, like, Mark puts in a lot of links, and he doesn't, he, like I said, he's been called for moderation because of the size, but the blog has never thought he was spam. I guess the blog likes Mark better than he likes the ladies. But yeah, go to the blog and tell us your favorite popcorn flavors or anything else. Really, anything. We're fine.
But don't submit questions there. You do that somewhere else.
You write the hat.
Yeah, the hat.
The hat not is us. Magical in that it has email and occasionally talks on Facebook, not in that it has a blog, because that blog is really ours. So to write the hat, you should write an email to themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Please write us. It's what keeps the show going.
Yeah.
If we run out of questions, I don't know what we'll do.
The hat will probably kill us, because we will no longer be useful
possible.
To it.
So write in. They don't have to be elaborate questions. They could be topic. I mean, hell, we got lettuces, apples.
Is life or death. I mean, I know that it's just
us,
Tony and William, but, you know, you could be saving a life.
Yes.
And
for just 14 cents a day.
Yeah.
You can hire a stupid kid who doesn't know the value of money to write crap on an email and send it in.
I mean, how many of you, our dear listeners, can say in the time you've spent on this planet so far that you have saved a life? I mean, think about that.
Mm.
And now, by writing into the hat, you can ensure that
you save two.
That you save two.
And maybe even Ezzy.
Two and three quarters. Whatever a cat's worth.
Normal cat, three quarters. Ezzy,
okay.
3/8.
So just think about that. You know, do a little introspection. And
for those of you who think...
Introspection.
Tony's really kind of a horrible, villainous person, and the world would be better off without him. You're not wrong. But you'll also be saving William. So...
I think we just lost him on that one. Good
well,
job.
For those of you who think William is a pathetic tool and we wouldn't care if he died, remember, you're also saving me. And if you really hate both of us equally, why the fuck are you listening to our podcast?
That's what I don't
that's
get.
Weird.
Why would they do that?
Is this like hate listening? Like you listen out of hate, you just glare at your iPod like for an hour?
Very, very... disturbed person, I think.
Yeah, you don't have to write in.
No,
but although you could, your emails might be interesting.
Yeah, but you should probably seek.
Yeah,
professional
you got other
help.
Problems to deal with first. But the rest of you that don't hate both of us with the blazing passion of a thousand suns, you'd be saving the one you like. don't think about the other one.
Saving the one you like.
Trying to put spin on this. Best I got. Okay, yeah, so do that instead. And write the hat. We can always use more stuff. I mean, we draw out randomly, so you could write in, and a week later, you could get your thing drawn. Or a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if there's still ones in there from the beginning
from
of the show.
From the very beginning.
I don't know that for sure, but I would not be surprised.
No.
Because we do draw them randomly out of the hat.
The cosmos, as it were, decides.
Yes.
Not us.
So, thank you, won't you?
Would you like to make more money? Sure you would.
We all would. I love just adding that to the... Anytime I ask a question, you end with, of course, we all would. Or, of course, all good-hearted people do.
Yeah.
So, the preceding was a paid advertisement by the Hat Media Empire and a subsidiary of Kraft Dinner.
Side effects
we
include...
We need to start making up sponsors like Prairie Home Companion does.
Okay.
I think we should do that. You could ride the hat with those, or you could go to the blog with those. Either way.
We will sponsor your fake company.
Yeah, we will shill for your fake company. Also, if you have a real thing,
a
podcast
or YouTube thing,
that's right.
or a
website, let us know.
It could be legitimate, but even if it's not,
that
we don't
mostly
care.
Go to the blog and we'll talk about that. But we've done it before. We did it with douchydm.com, which I still highly recommend. Sure. We've done it with Williams Books, which,
yeah,
those are things.
Exactly.
All right, so.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Oh.
We should be done.
Okay.
All right, so next time it'll be 1 week/2 weeks from now, and we'll have a lot to talk about of things that happened.
2 weeks
so,
worth of stuff.
For those of you who hate when we talk about our own stuff, and don't draw from the hat, go ahead and skip that one.
Yeah, probably.
But
tell someone else to listen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Give a hoot. Listen to the podcast.
Yeah. That's our motto.
We just met you, and this is crazy, but here's our podcast. So listen, maybe. I am doing that so much at work. I'm constantly doing that to my boss, and it's pissing her off because I get the song clip. Like, I come back from lunch, and I go in over to her, and I'm like, I just got back, and this is crazy. And then we both start laughing all the time. I told her to send my review and say, I just wrote this, and this is crazy, but here's your review, and read it maybe. Oh, such a dumb joke. I love it. Okay, anyway, we're done now. So, all right, good. So, we stop. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Done. Okay. Stop saying. They might not have heard them.
Okay.
Okay. Good day. Like, here we are at Peter's Donuts.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.